And joining us this morning, State Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Terrific to have you. All right, we've been hearing this in the news for a while. Your friends on the other side of the aisle seem to think that gas companies are to blame for these high gas prices. So the question begs, are the gas companies singling Washington State out because the gas prices are lower in neighboring states?
Yeah, no, I don't think they are. And that's, of course, been a big issue politically in recent weeks. Chelan County pays about $4.90 per gallon on average. And according to AAA, Washington State does have the highest gas prices in the nation. And you have to ask yourself what's different. And I heard the report. Some of my colleagues just commented on it some minutes ago. But last year, Washington State had the sixth highest gas prices in the nation. And I do understand that distribution lines and market demands, international conflicts, all of those things do play into gas prices. But since the time that we were sixth highest in the nation, and now Washington State in January of this year implemented sweeping climate policies that at the time those were approved, we made the case that these were going to significantly increase gas prices. The governor and other advocates said we're talking about pennies, if anything. But as it turns out, it's much more than that. And, you know, it's really, really a big deal. This is crushing families. When you have high gas prices, it siphons away, you know, no pun intended, but it siphons away what's left of people's income. And the gas prices affect much more than just at the pump. And this is something that I want people to understand, because when you're in grocery stores, when you're in restaurants, the cost of services, deliveries, all of the ripple effects associated with high gas prices are impacting those costs, and those costs get passed to the consumers, and ultimately what's left of families' discretionary income, if they had any to begin with, is eaten away by these high gas prices.
Yeah, I think we're all feeling that. It's and then we also hear on the heels of that, hey, pay as you go. That's going to be the next tax. And it just seems like this tax machine in Olympia just can't be fed enough of our tax dollars.
And it's a tough situation because the state budget has significantly grown. I mean, ultimately, there is an impact to the cumulative nature of all these tax pressures. And, you know, when it comes to gas prices, there are federal gas taxes. There are state gas taxes. I've never voted for a state gas tax, but those are significantly high. And then some of these policies, when it comes to climate policies aimed to curb emissions, those are not necessarily taxes, but they're a regulatory structure that can add anywhere from 30 to 50 cents per gallon cumulatively on the cost of gas. And like I said, people notice the gas prices when they're filling their tank up. I'm like, dang, I just filled my tank up in my Subaru and it was like $44 and I had a half tank to begin with. So I was like, here I am, I'm spending over $40 to fill up the rest of my vehicle. But like I said, people don't really notice the sneaky nature of high gas prices in all the other aspects of their lives. But anytime you go to a restaurant or the grocery store and you check out, it's impacted in all those things. And it does have an impact on the economy. And one thing, as you may know, Jeff, because we've talked about clean energy, we've talked about hydrogen. I've been a supporter of hydrogen vehicles, but I am a supporter of clean energy. I'm a supporter of the environment, but we can't hammer families into changing their behavior. I believe it's the more compassionate and kind of the better approach public policy-wise is to create incentive-based programs to encourage transition to zero-emission vehicles. I support electric vehicles. I support hydrogen vehicles. Ultimately, people should have a choice, but but we should encourage and incentivize some changes rather than create programs that pass huge costs on to the consumers. And some of my colleagues have basically tried to blame the oil companies. And hey, listen, I'm willing to look at everything. And like I said, I know there are a lot of factors associated with high gas prices. You can't just say, oh, it's just this program, but there's state taxes, federal taxes, international conflicts, the distribution, the demand in the summer, and all these things. But you just can't implement sweeping climate policy in the state of Washington and assume that it won't have any impact on fuel prices. I mean, that is absurd, and it's disingenuous, because to pass these programs and to say they're not going to have an impact, and then when they do have an impact, you know, it's troubling. And so I signed on to a letter, my 12th district seatmates did as well, to encourage the Department of Ecology to kind of evaluate some different aspects of the program. And I think that might be a possibility to kind of look at maybe some ways to propose some adjustments or find some relief in the new program. It's a complicated program, but there are allowances and compliance deadlines and all those things for all these companies. And we've asked kind of for a re-review of those deadlines and compliance obligations and all those things, just to see if there's a way to provide some relief for people. You know, and that's what I'm hoping they will consider.
Well, and we know that a big community that has been impacted by this is our farming community, where the governor virtually guaranteed that farmers wouldn't be impacted by this, and yet they are getting hammered by this program.
Right. And unfortunately, with our agricultural community, they don't really have the ability to just sort of pass along all of the costs to consumers. But because, you know, there are certain fixed prices that people are going to pay for certain commodities and not others. But ultimately, some of those costs will certainly be shifted to others. And we want people to eat homegrown fruits and vegetables and all these things. And we don't really want people to choose the cheaper, more processed things. But if there are costs on the family farm, those at least some of those will get passed along and absorbed to consumers. So ultimately, it all ends up back with us. And like I said, I want clean air. I'm not for pollution. But we need to figure out what's the best approach to get to where we are. And sometimes in Washington State, if we pass policies that other states are not also passing, it disproportionately negatively impacts our economy versus other states, and it doesn't make a huge impact in global emissions and things. So I support us being a leader, but like I said, I guess it comes down to what's the best philosophical approach when it comes to public policy.
Yeah.
And I think incentivizing changes in behavior voluntarily through choices is a much better approach. And frankly, it's not any more costly to the state to create incentive programs compared to some of the complicated programs that are being approved through the state now. I mean, the Department of Ecology had to hire probably hundreds of people to implement this new program, and it's going to be something that is only going to essentially be more complicated over time.
Yeah, well, you mentioned being a leader. Sadly, Washington State is leading with high gas prices, and now a new report saying that Washington leads in fentanyl deaths. Lots to be proud of. Yeah, very good.
There are some big concerns, and yeah, and when it comes to gas prices, I mean, hopefully it doesn't discourage people from coming and visiting Lake Chelan and visiting Manson and all your wonderful communities. But, you know, ultimately, people do have to make choices on where they go.
Yeah,
you know?
Fair enough. Hey, well, I know we're rolling into that time of year where you like to get out, meet with your constituents, and start building some momentum as you plan for the next session.
Yes, and so I'm excited to announce on KOZI my 7th annual 12th District Listening Tour. It's something that occurs every fall. I get a chance to visit several people and communities. I get to hear from people directly where they are, hear about the issues important to them. And conducting those listening tours in the fall is a good way for me to sort of get my feet on the ground. In some respects, it seems like I have never ended because we had a long session. We had the special session to address the drug possession issue, speaking of that. And so before you know it, I've been pretty active this interim in post-session visits and things. I've made a couple trips up to Chelan as well. But now it seems like we're rolling right into that time where, you know, in the fall where I start thinking about the next session. And so my listening tour for this year will be September 5th through the 8th. I'm structuring it a little bit differently because of so many new areas to the district. So on September 5th for Chelan County, I'll be focused on Chelan County. And then the 6th, 7th, 8th, I'll be heading to the west side of the district for Snohomish County and into the King County portion of the district, the Highway 2 communities. But we'll be releasing all that information, and it'll also be on my website at senatorbradhawkins.org. So if people want to get in contact with me, I think the listening tour is a great opportunity. And if they, for whatever reason, can't participate in the listening tour, I'm available year-round to hear from you. So if KOZI listeners want to just go on my website, senatorbradhawkins.org, and go to my contact page, they can submit a comment directly to me and my staff, and we'd be happy to kind of get working on things right away before the listening tour.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. All right. We always look forward to that each year. The listening tour for Senator Brad Hawkins coming up September 5th through 8th, that is, and details and exact locations will be coming up soon, right?
That's right.
Very good. Yeah. Hey, we sure appreciate your time as always, Senator. Thank you for joining us for a Community Connection this morning.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me. Look forward to connecting with you next time.
Thank you so much. Again, Senator Brad Hawkins joining us for a Community Connection.